This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Aloha, friends. Hello, lovers. Attention pullers. Achtung. Shovers. It's me, producer Taylor, and I come as the angel once did to the humble shepherds of Bethlehem, looking tight, feeling right, and bearing that good news. And that good news is this. We are now selling digital live streaming tickets to the live stream of our live show at the Bell House in Brooklyn this Wednesday, September 15th. That's right. Over the hills, beneath the floodwaters, through the fire and the flames, we come to you unstoppable. So if you can't make it to New York City on Wednesday, that's fine. You can still make it to the show. Just go to rudetalesofmagic.live and click on, you guessed it, tickets. So you can join the new live stream tickets that we just launched. And hey, we will digitally see you there. Bye.
There you are, traveler. Come inside, hang up your coat, put your feet by the fire, and I shall bring you what you so desperately seek. Rude Tales of Magic.
It's early morning. Somewhere. You wouldn't know, though, because you're deep underground in the Switchblade's cave system. The last 24 hours are a blur of chaos and order and struggles of the flesh and civic engineering gone haywire. The last thing you remember is diving into a big hole that Brian Fuck's flesh kaiju left. But how did... It comes back to you in flashes.
This is a really big hole!
Form a rope! Rats, form a rope!
Everybody grab the rope!
I'm using the linked rats to swing to that ledge!
As you all awake, you realize you've been sleeping on a bed of rats. It's like a waterbed if you're extremely unfamiliar with waterbeds.
One of the rats is a particular shade of navy blue, and he stirs awake and then wild shapes back into bellow,
killing the rats beneath him.
Yeah, we got a lot of rats. There's a lot of rat casualties there, but that's we're moving. Everyone's waking up. It's okay.
Frederick stares at the ceiling, unmoving, and just says, "This is horrifying. This is the worst night's sleep of my life, and I cannot move my body. I don't want to get up. I hate it. I can't get up."
Oh yeah, that was nice. Perfecto mundo. Dream. Dreams. If I could sleep like this every night, I would. Oh, look at these, my little rats. You've done so well for me, my minions. I'm so grateful to you, as you are as grateful to your king.
Yeah, the rats nod appreciatively. They're your rats. These are your subjects. You are the king of the rats.
You're welcome, everyone, for a wonderful night's sleep on my little minions.
Now, there is a language barrier, but the energy, they're loving it.
Albie's ears are twitching. She's, like, having a hard time shaking out of her sleep, and she sort of like reaches to scratch by her shoulder and then feels where the note from Bello is, and that sort of like panics her awake, and she just sort of looks around. How close is everybody to her right now?
Oh, it's cozy. Everyone's close. It's shoulder to shoulder in here. It's warm.
Hey, Albie.
Ah, hi, fellow. Hi.
Hey, Albie.
Hey, Cordelia, how would you sleep?
I was totally out. That felt so good.
Oh, good. Oof.
Well, well. No! Look who's finally up. It's all of us. We're a family. I'm the uncle.
No.
Oh, hi, Roddy.
Hi, Uncle Roddy.
Bella, are we all... Hot Roddy, do you want us all to call you Uncle Roddy? What's going on? I think I missed this part of the thing.
I'm actually just Bello's uncle, although I cannot blame you for wanting to get in on the nephew-niece party. Sorry, that's a bit of a closed door on that party, though, sorry to say.
Oh, shoot.
I'm sorry, Albie.
That's okay. It's fine. Albie,
do you want to be my cousin?
No. No, I mean, no, if only. We're not, though. I'm going to, I just want to fix my hair. And she, like, shuffles. She tries to sort of, like, crawl on the, like, wave of rats to kind of get, like, a little bit of privacy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the rats part. These rats are here to help. They sense the vibe. Now, these rats, they don't speak common, but they speak vibe fluently, and they can tell what you're going for, so they part a little, and they form a wall of rats around you, enclosing you in a small little rat room. Usually horrible, but you've got your privacy.
Is there any light in this rat room?
Oh, now you guys want to know? I thought everyone had dark vision.
Oh, no, you're right. I forgot I had dark vision.
Yeah, you see just fine.
What a cool thing for me to have. Okay. Albie, sort of like, her mouth is very dry. And she sort of licks her lips and like pulls out the note from Bello that she had not finished reading yet. And she unfolds it. And she starts to read.
And in Bello's voice, we hear,
"Dear Albie, hi, it's Bello, your friend. I wanted to write you because I've been thinking a lot about your big knife sword. It needs a name. Here are a few suggestions."
Albie crumples up the note. She crumples it up. "I don't know what I was... What do I even want?" And she just kind of shoves it back in her tunic and like sort of like a side pocket and sighs.
Okay. All right.
Joe had more.
She might return to it, but that's not what she wanted to read.
That's what we call refusing the call in the hero business.
Albie kind of carefully takes the sword out of the sheath, trying not to injure any of the nearby rats.
You fail at that, yeah.
Sorry. And she sort of examines her injured antler in her reflection in the sword. And she looks sad. But then she tries to like sort of puff up and she says to herself, "My sword already has a name." And then she puts it back in the sheath and she like makes her way back to the group.
Your little like pod of rats sort of opens up and your cubicle of rats, you escape.
You see Frederick de Bonesby popping in his false eyeballs like they were contact lenses.
Bello taps Cordelia on the shoulder. "Hey, Cord, can I ask you a question?"
"Oh, yeah. What's up?"
And from this point on, Bello is speaking to you in rat.
"Okay.
Hey, I don't want to make a big deal about this, but when we switched bodies, I learned something about you."
"Oh.
And I just want to say..."
"Look, just because my magic was disorganized and sort of messy doesn't mean
that..." No. It's not that. It's not that. I just want to say that I hope you know that everything we've, like, talked about has been off the record.
I'm sorry. Look, it was days that we were up, and I'm...
Because you were a journalism major.
Yeah.
So I just want to be clear that everything that we've ever talked about has been, like, off the record, you know?
Oh, my God.
I have to tell you, journalism's really important to me.
You're not giving it to him. It's all been on the record.
It's important to me that I be able to write about this in my column. In my column.
Can I just be a source close to Frederick de Bonesby?
You could be a source adjacent to Frederick de Bonesby, but I...
That's okay. That's okay. And also, while we're having this conversation in Rat, yeah. the name Frederick de Bonesby is still heard in common. So you're hearing, like, skittering, like, Frederick de Bonesby.
Can I get, like, a real rat-y Frederick de Bonesby, you know, like a...
Yeah. Frederick de Bonesby.
Frederick de Bonesby.
Frederick de Bonesby, chitter chitter, what is this?
Oh, truly, truly just, it's a professional discussion.
Yeah, I think we're on the same page now. It's okay.
Cordelia turns back to Velo in Rat and says, if there's anything that you'd like to share that needs to be completely off the record, you need to start the conversation that way, and then I will honor it, and you can let me know. Okay?
I can see that you've really... learned a lot in your classes.
I don't know that I went to any of them.
Mm. Okay.
We cut over to Hot Roddy is sort of trying to make small talk with Stir Fry, and he's pointing to Bell. Yeah, that's my nephew.
Oh, really? Yeah, that's yeah. That's one of my best friends. And one day, you know, I've heard that he is eager to adopt. So maybe you'll have someone else in the family as soon as well, my friend.
Oh, is it like a nephew son? The son of what is the son of a nephew to me?
A son of a nephew is a your great uncle.
My great uncle?
It'd be your great nephew.
That family's shaped like a circle.
What? No, it would be the great uncle.
Oh, I'd be the what, a grand nephew?
Yeah, I mean, I guess a grand nephew, like a grand kid.
This fucking sucks. There is no. This is my new thing. There are not enough terms for uncles. All the terminology, it's about parents and children, but uncles are, if you think about it, they're sort of the linchpin of the family.
It's true, and it's very complicated to be like, well, okay, so my cousin's kids are my
exactly.
cousins?
You get it. It's all about uncle's rights.
Cousins or something? I don't get that. I don't get,
uncle rights.
Dad.
Uncle's yeah. rights.
Their cousins
uncle's
once
rights.
Removed.
Yes.
Just so you know.
Yeah, no, but that doesn't make any sense. That doesn't make any sense at all.
Why? That's what they are. Yes,
they're just, yeah.
Right, no, it's just, you know, the once removed thing. It's just,
yeah, it's the once removed thing, sort of. It makes it. But, you know, this is all academic right now because I am adopted by no one. So it's just, but why would they need to be? I have my own family below me right now. These rats, my kings, my queen. No, I'm the king. I'm the king and they are my little family, my minions. Speaking of which, if anyone's hungry, I'll cook any of them on the spot right now.
Stir Fry?
What? I love you guys. You're my friends.
Thank you.
Thanks
I'm sorry, I forgot you were a vegetarian. Rats, do any of you have any sticks or a little grassery stuck in your teeth that I can offer to my good friend, Albie?
Yeah, the rats consult back and forth really quickly. They're looking around at each other, and they all eyes point to one rat whose cheeks are, like, stuffed full like a chipmunk. And he's got this, like, busted look on his face, and he goes, bleh, and he barfs out a bunch of sticks and leaves.
I don't eat sticks and leaves, Stir Fry, but, thank you so much for thinking of me. I am kind of hungry.
You're welcome, Elby. I know that you care a lot about me, and I appreciate you saying that.
I do. I do care a lot about you.
I can fry up the sticks. I can almost make it. I can make it like a potato latke or something like that.
Oh, it's more about the fact that it was already kind of being eaten.
But that creates the consistency to create the latke, you see.
Actually, Stir Fry, I do kind of want to ask you a question, privately.
Oh, yes! Stir Fry jumps over the rest of the party to land next to Albie and takes her ear.
Okay.
Just so we know, the orientation, you guys are already very close to each other, so Stir Fry, you jump like over the rest of the party and then back over to the person you were talking to?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a small room. You don't have to roll for it. Okay.
Yeah, Albie sort of takes Stir Fry aside into another little rat pocket.
Cool.
And she says, so Stir Fry, you heard Virginia say that she quit being a witch hunter, right?
Yes.
So the whole reason we couldn't, you know, get rid of her before was because we'd be bringing down the wrath of the witch hunters.
Yes.
But now it sort of feels like that's going to happen anyway.
Yes. But
so
but
should
she
we...
wants to do it on her own terms.
Yeah. I don't think we should let her. Albie's sort of like tapping her sword nervously. I've never tried to do this on purpose before, but I kind of want your help killing the witch hunter.
Few of you have seen Stir Fry really relax before, but Albie does. He's his sort of energy drops a little bit. His shoulders drop ever so slightly, like he's always carrying tension, and someone said, you don't gotta do that. he looks at her. Albie, I can do that. I can do that for you.
Really?
It's not hard, and it gives you a gift of freedom and protection.
This is what we have to do. I mean, I don't want to seek her out, but if she keeps doing this, if she keeps following us, and if she keeps threatening Cordelia, I can't stand by and let her do that anymore.
Stir Fry grabs a rat, pulls it up, and places it in front of Albie. He puts his hand, right hand, under its upside down head so that the belly is exposed to Albie. He then pulls back the head, exposing the neck. With his other hand, he sort of holds back the hands and feet. The tail sort of wriggles around at the bottom of his palm, but the neck is exposed.
The rat looks up at you, Albie, like, you see? You see what he's willing to do?
Albie looks at Stir Fry. Oh, I can't. No, I can't.
Albie. Shh. It's okay. I know for many people this is a scary thing, and for you it must be much scarier based on what you've done for most of your life before, but if you feel like you have to do this, then I believe in you. But you must do this one step at a time. It's not an easy thing. Eventually it becomes quite a fun thing, but it's never an easy thing, especially when beginning.
But why?
You won't have time to hesitate in the future, so do it now.
It's different. Stir Fry.
Stir Fry slams his beak against the rat's open neck, tearing out its throat, spinning it onto the ground, tossing it to the side. He slams his hand down, pulls up another rat, does the exact same thing.
Stir Fry, stop! Stop it!
No!
I shouldn't have asked you.
You should have. If you want to protect your friend, you must take these steps now. This is the easiest way to do it.
The rat looks up at you like, please don't make him repeat himself. Please, please, please.
Albie closes her eyes. She takes out one of her darts and quickly, without looking, jabs it at where she thinks the rat's neck is.
Jesus Christ!
What?
My little fingy!
Well, Stir Fry! I don't understand!
What are you guys doing?
Nothing! Albie grabs Stir Fry by the beak. Please, please don't say anything about this to anyone. I shouldn't have said it. I can't do this. I'm sorry. Please don't say anything. I'm gonna find another way.
Stir Fry, he looks straight into Albie's eyes with a great deal of sympathy and a great deal of understanding. He pulls back out. I won't tell anyone.
Thank
you. But the offer stands. And I'm telling you right now that Cordelia already knows that I am willing to do what needs to be done to protect this group. Will you do the same?
Albie nods. And she walks away.
Stir Fry picks up the rat. She didn't kill it. She pricked his dang little feather thingy. He puts the rat on his wrist. You're very brave. And for being so brave, you shall be my favorite rat. I will name you Isaac.
Stir Fry, how's that rat breakfast coming along?
Ooh, yes, why no, man? He bites off the head of Isaac and starts tearing off the fur. He's gonna make this a bit of a sushi.
Oh, good.
Oh, raw rat. Yeah.
Frederick doesn't even look. He's currently studying his spell book, preparing his magic.
Hot Roddy's gonna sort of lean into the Bonesby and say, "Hey, the Bonesby."
Yes, Roderick.
Can I ask you a question?
You may.
You're an older guy, right?
I am elderly. Yes, thank you for noticing.
That's what I'm saying. You got generations below you, right? Can I ask? Do you wear the uncle's crown?
Will I wear the uncle's crown?
Do you wear the uncle's crown?
Oh, no, I have no nieces or nephews.
All right, well.
My brothers never had the chance.
Nice. I cannot read what you're saying there necessarily, but that's all right. I was just
terrible
curious.
Men and would have had even worse offspring. I've done the world a favor.
All right, yeah, no, hell yeah, no, I get it. I was looking for. Can I? And he sort of leans in. He's like, can I tell you? Can I be honest with you?
I would love for your honesty, Roderick.
I've never been an uncle before. I do not want to fuck this up. I just need some uncle tips.
Oh, my understanding is that the uncle's duties are relatively fun. You take the child out to the theater, you buy candies, and say good job and high fives and so on and so forth, and then give it back to its parents for the hard work of rearing someone with good character.
Yeah, that's nice. That actually, that sort of sounds like exactly what I was hoping fatherhood would be like. So this looks like a pretty sweet deal to old Hot Roddy.
Yes, congratulations.
All right, well, no, never mind.
I'm reading now. Goodbye.
All right, and he leans up against Afterbirth, who, by the way, he clutched with his knees when he grabbed that rope. Afterbirth is in there with you. That's why it's so cramped in here.
What thigh size?
Cordelia sees Hot Roddy sort of lean away from DeBonesby, and so she kind of scoots over and is like, "Hey, DeBonesby."
You're all lovely in the morning and chatting when I'm trying to read. Yes, what is it, Cordelia?
Look, trust me, I haven't had coffee. I get it. But I just wanted to say, I think, given, you know, what's going on and the veritable foes closing in around us, we're going to need all the energy we got. So any of the spells that pass through me, you are welcome to use them at any time.
DeBonesby puts his hand up to his chest. He's touched. He says, "Cordelia, that's a very generous blanket statement. I'll tell you, Cordelia, I wish I had access to whatever that cosmic void from beyond you're able to summon against the goblins."
I mean, it feels cold and horrible, so it seemed like the right move, but I'm, I don't know, maybe, God, I feel like I am messing with stuff bigger than me.
Cordelia, I will tell you, the only way to advance through spellcraft is to, as they say, fake it till you make it. There's always something more powerful than you until there isn't.
Yeah. Thanks, DeBonesby.
You're welcome, but be careful. Magic does come at a cost, and sometimes it's terrible to pay it. Look at me! I'm a skeleton man!
She gives him a kiss on the cheek and then walks away.
I feel so much better now that I'm rested.
Does anybody have any coffee or breakfast?
I've got some raw rat sushi coming right up.
Oh
yeah, Stir Fry's gonna throw some pellets of rolled up, and you know what? Seasoned rat meat over to the hungry DeBonesby's eager hands. He's gonna toss one to Cordelia. Mm-hmm. He's gonna check in with Albie and Bello. Do you guys want this?
Oh, I'm still a vegetarian, but thank you.
And I love to eat meat, but I think I'm going to do some intermittent fasting this morning, Sturf.
Ah, right. Yeah, no, I got you.
Yeah.
I got you. Yeah. Physique comes first. He throws up.
Yeah, you get it, dude. Yeah.
Sturf, I throws something up. Sturf, I throws a little bit of his rat sushi up in the air and snaps it down. Oh, I'm good at this. I am a good chef, as I am a good king. I love you all. Can you fucking believe what this bullshit we just went through? This fucking sucked. May I say it? May I say it? This sucked, and I'm so grateful we're all back together again. With more power than before, the suffering was rewarded with our friends, the rats.
Where do we go from here? Cordelia, do you know what you want to do next?
I mean, I think we just have to get back to the Forbidden Zone, right? We just gotta get there as fast as we can and outrun the many, many dangerous, horrible, scary me hunters. But we can do that, and then we can restore everything to its rightful place and move on.
Yeah. How do we get out of here?
Yeah.
And Bello's gonna cast Weather Is Here, Wish You Were Beautiful, and each object in a 20-foot cube is going to be outlined in beautiful Aruba blue.
Oh, everything. It is overwhelming all of the rats. The blue Aruba blue. There's just like hundreds of rats in here, all outlined in beautiful Aruba blue. But also you, also Afterbirth, also Hot Roddy, the whole gang. Gang's all here. And you can see, does light emanate from these characters, these objects?
Yes, it's Aruba blue light.
Okay, great. So it's all light. For the you dim your dark vision, or it's going to be overwhelming. You can see that you are in an alcove. You are in a small cave, and you can the 20 feet just about extends. That's just about all you got in here. It's just about 20 feet. It's just rats, just you guys. There's seems to be nothing else in this cave except for the exit / entrance of this cave.
Albie is going to go towards the exit / entrance and like peer around.
Sure. Now, I'll remind you, the caves of the Switchblades, they change, they shift. It's as if the Switchblade cave system itself is alive. And so when you look out, it doesn't look at all like what you originally looked down at. Of course, it was a huge, massive elevator shaft that had been expanded out to the side as Brian Fuck's flesh kaiju moved up. That's no longer there. You look out and you see you are simply, you seem to be a small room off of a long, dark hallway. There are many other little alcoves and rooms, but it seems to just be a long cavern hallway. There's stalagmites, stalactites, the usual cave shit. You see it?
It looks like we could just kind of make our way through. Hot Roddy, do you know the way?
I got burned on this before. The caves do shift and change. Remember that.
Right, and I am sorry because I definitely thought you were lying about that
before. Oh, it was a huge violation of trust. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Wait, it was? Okay, that's fine.
Oh, on my end. I stopped trusting you after you talked to me like that.
Yeah, okay.
Just so you know, I got an internal life, too.
Sure.
Uncle.
Sure, I think that's
Whoa, hold on. Say it again.
Uncle.
Yeah.
Be nice to Albie.
Alright. Sure. No. Uncle's duties. Alright, Albie. No. I do not know how to get out of the caves now.
Thank you, Uncle.
You are welcome, nephew. And he turns to Cordelia, who is just the closest person to him, and says, by any chance, you wear the uncle's crown?
Thank you for asking. I do not.
All right, fair enough. Somebody had better teach me how to be an uncle.
I'm an aunt.
Yeah, right, well, that's really not what I was asking for. I was asking about uncle stuff, not aunt stuff.
Okay, sorry. Okay.
No, it's not.
Hey, Cordelia, do you want to maybe scout with me?
Cordelia, when you look at her, is glancing at Hot Roddy, wondering if he thinks that she's a boy. And then she sort of trots off after Albie.
You see quite a bit in this cave. Stalagmites, stalactites, and their unloved cousin, stalagfrights, which grow sideways, perhaps due to cave wind. Graffiti on the cave walls imply that teens who loved to get high were once trapped in here, and more mature graffiti nearby imply that they never escaped, although they did kick the habit. You see a large, shaggy-haired dog covered in chocolate brown fur. He looks ripe for petting and wears sneakers like a man. Only on his hind legs. I guess that settles that. You quickly crouch behind the stalagmites.
Oh, it's a dog.
Is it the dog from that one cafe we went to?
Does Albie recognize that as the... I don't remember his name. Was it Jerry?
Mungo.
It was Mungo.
You're thinking
Mungo
of the band Mungo Jerry with the hit song in the summertime.
Yeah, that's what I think.
Is it that?
And look, maybe he was named after the band.
Yeah. Do I hear a banjo? Is it Mungo?
It is not Mungo. This dog has shorter, it's scruffy, wiry hair, but not long. Mungo, you remember, I described it as like an Afghan hound, like long hair. This is much shorter, wiry hair.
Yeah.
No, he's cute.
Does he look friendly and cute?
He looks confused.
Okay. Cordelia's kind of going to give Albie like a hand squeeze and a nod and kind of signal like, all right, making a move. And then she steps out in dog and she steps out and says in dog, "What ho, stranger?"
Oh, goodness gracious! Oh, the dog, it just trembles.
I'm sorry.
Looks down and touches his shoes. The shoes, please, you mustn't touch them, please.
I won't touch your shoes. I totally understand. I love my shoes, too. What are you doing down here?
Oh, yes, those are fine shoes. And he's going to walk towards you and say, where are these from? What's the story on these shoes?
Oh, they're from, I don't know. I got them in a shoe store a couple of years ago.
Shoe store, you say?
Yeah, a place where you buy shoes. A
couple of years. So you're not of the caves?
Oh, no. I'm actually from a place called the Teenage Woods. You may know it as the Forbidden Zone.
Ah, I know it is neither. I've been in the caves for 2 years.
Ah.
Which for me is 14 years.
Oh. Do you want some scratches?
Some scratches? Please, don't condescend.
I'm sorry, I like scratches. Nobody has ever offered them to me.
Albie is still behind her stalactite.
Mite.
Stalactite?
Stalagmite.
Frig! Okay, Albie's still behind the thing, and she's confused, and so she, like, barks to Cordelia, thinking maybe Cordelia's gonna understand what she's saying. Bark, bark, bark!
So, this dog is going to look over there and say, "That's a superstition! It's a superstition! It's not true!"
Oh, she... Cordelia's gonna say, no, that's my friend. She doesn't, doesn't know dog very well.
Has a lot to learn about dog, so I should say so.
Albie, what's going on? It's okay. You wanna come out?
Okay, yes, Albie comes out.
Okay,
sorry. No, I didn't know if you needed me to, like, you know, and she's like, she makes like little, like, I'm gonna get you arms.
Yeah. No, I think we're good. This dog's been down here for 2 years and really loves their boots.
Oh! Albie, like, just sort of looks at him pleasantly.
Oh, you know, our friend Bello's gonna be pissed if we don't ask. What's your name?
Ah, yes. You're speaking a dog now.
Yes.
My name is Jerry, a joke which got stepped on.
Hello, Jerry, a joke. Well, it's a pleasure to meet you. Do you happen to know... You seem like a friendly fella. Do you happen to know how to get out of these caves entirely?
Please, if I knew how to get out of the caves, I would.
Oh, really? You're stuck too?
I'm stuck down here, and I have been for 2 years, which you'll remember is 14 years for me.
Yeah, boo. Ugh. Well, where did you come from originally?
Why, I came from a loving home.
Up topside.
Up topside, yes.
So, you
came from a loving,
like...
home. I sought the caves.
Yeah.
Because I sought the Room of Wonders.
Yeah. Oh.
Where all wishes become reality, yes. I got lost.
Yeah.
Unable to find the room, I sustained myself by eating travelers who I find down here, save for their shoes, which I wear as trophies.
Oh.
What's he saying?
Okay, so we have a little bit of a twist here. There's something called the Room of Wonders, which may or may not be real, where all your wishes come true. But this fellow, whose name is Jerry.
Hi, Jerry.
Sorry, this is high priority information. I'm just going to deliver all of it.
Okay.
He does eat other travelers and then wear their shoes as trophies.
Oh, he's Oh.
But he seems really nice, so...
Yeah!
Cordelia's second round of rat sushi is on the menu and is served.
Sir Fry walks out with a whole bunch of more rat sushi ready for Cordelia's consumption.
Jerry's going to look right at Sir Fry and like look right at those rats and be like, "Oh!" And in dog, he's going to say, "Why, those rats look delicious."
Oh, Stir Fry, this is our new friend, Jerry. And then she switches to dog. Jerry, this is our friend, Stir Fry. Would you like something to eat?
No, actually, I'm full. I recently ate travelers.
Oh, so you're not going to eat us?
No, you are in no danger.
Okay, so she translates us to Albion Stir Fry.
Great. I want to know if you wanted to eat something.
Yes, I do. I would love some. Yeah. Thank you.
Here you go. Stir Fry gives her some more rat sushi. That's rat meat meshed up and spiced, and that's all I'll tell you.
Yeah, and ill-advisedly she eats it.
It's good. Is that okay, Brinson?
You eat the... No, fuck you! It's good! No, you make Brinson, the rats, good. And then it's in my hands.
Okay.
Flip a coin.
Ooh.
Ooh,
it's good.
Tails.
Tails?
Yeah.
Tastes like ass.
Makes sense.
Well, what did you think, Cordelia? Did you enjoy it?
It was bad.
So,
look, wait, listen to this.
Yeah.
We're trying to find something called the Room of Wonders.
Oh, what? There's a Room of Wonders? Yeah, I want that.
Well,
that sounds incredibly blah, blah.
So our friend Jerry, unclear if it's real or a legend, but all your wishes come true. Now, he's been down here for 2 years trying to find it. Bello de Bonesby.
Yeah.
Yes, hello.
Wonders
out.
Oh, nice. Hey, Bello.
Hey, did you make a new friend?
Yeah, his name's Jerry. You can talk to him in dog.
Oh, don't mind if I do. And then Bello switches to dog. Hey, I'm Bello.
Oh, Bello, hello. My name is Jerry.
You seem like a good guy, Jerry.
Well, looks can be deceiving. However, in this case, I don't believe they are. I am a fan of myself.
Bello is going to open palm, motion his hand toward Jerry's face so Jerry can sniff him.
Oh, yeah. Jerry gives a good sniff. He goes, now I trust you. I was so uncomfortable.
Bello also thinks back to Rulshaven City Hall, and there had been a big lunch buffet. And for reasons passing understanding, Bello had pocketed a small morsel of beef, perhaps for a snack later. He pulls it out and says, would you like this, Jerry?
I would, but I recently consumed travelers. I'm sure your friend in common set it up. It said the whole thing. I'm full. I'm good. I've been looking for the Room of Wonders.
Oh,
Bello,
so
do you have food?
Huh?
Bello, do you have food?
Just a single morsel of beef.
Well,
why are we eating rats when you have food?
I haven't been eating the rats.
Am I the only one eating the rats?
Well, I wasn't going to say. By the way, Stir Fry, I would suggest with the rat sushi, maybe make that a made-to-order situation rather than like preparing it ahead of time.
You know what? This is why I'm the chef and you are the top of house. You're manager, chef. Manager, chef. Let's start a restaurant together, Bello. Can we please start a restaurant?
We already did that, dude.
Jerry is going to cut off Stir Fry there and speak to Bello and be like, just as a heads up, this conversation is agony for me. It is mostly noises that I neither comprehend nor am comfortable hearing. I'm going to get out of here. Good luck to you. And if I see you again, I will try to attack and consume you.
Wait. Can you tell us, how we might find the Room of Wonders?
Well, see, that's the thing. I myself am trying to find the Room of Wonders. And what my only understanding of the Room of Wonders is follow the direction of the water and then go the other way.
Just go the other way from the direction of the
water. If you see the direction that the water is flowing, you go in the opposite way.
So you've come down here,
and that's what you've been doing?
That's what I've been doing, yes.
Hmm. And you haven't found it?
No, I haven't found it, yes. So, to be clear, I have been not following the water, and for 2 years I have not found the Room of Wonders.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, boy.
Frederick stomps out, and he's like, why are all these dogs barking? I'm trying to... Oh, I see. You're talking to a dog.
Yeah. Hmm. We're looking for something called the Room of Wonders now.
Oh, that sounds fantastic.
Yeah.
Let's go. I'm all studied up.
Jerry, do you want to... Look, I don't want to cramp your style, but it sounds like maybe you want to just follow the water, and that will lead you to the Room of Wonders.
Well, I don't come down to where you're lost and tell you how to find the Room of Wonders.
That's what
happened. But if you've been lost down here for 2 years, maybe it's time to try something new.
Well, maybe it is, maybe it isn't. I'm doing my own thing, and I'm very happy. If I never find the Room of Wonders, I'll just eat every stranger I find, and I'll wear their shoes. That's my deal.
Okay. Well, then it's been a pleasure meeting you. And goodbye.
I imagine it has. My opinion of this group is decidedly mixed. And he walks off.
I already love him.
Yeah, me too.
And as he walks off, audiences everywhere cheer and they give a standing ovation for Jerry, the talking dog.
Yeah.
Wow.
He wasn't really a talking dog.
This is his last night on Broadway.
And he was a dog.
But he was talking in dog.
Right.
Which all dogs can do.
Right. And I think every dog is a talking dog by that metric.
Okay.
That's how fucked up I am. What's next? Bello's
going to look around for flowing water.
All right, Bello, make a perception roll for me.
I'd love to. One of my favorite rolls, Branson.
Oh, you're
Ooh,
in luck?
We've got a beautiful 14.
Oh, 14. That's going to be just enough. You're moving through the caves. You're moving left. You're moving right. You're looking for water. You're doing the thing. You put your finger in your mouth and you hold it up for wind. But this way, you're doing it for water. And a 14, that's not super efficient, but you're moving towards water. And you're getting. And as you move through the caves, you are hearing louder and louder and more resonant drips. It's as if these drips are no longer hitting stone. They're hitting puddles, and these puddles are in fact overflowing.
Oh.
And Bello, you stumble upon a stalactite. Better be tight or it will fall from the ceiling of the cave, or the stalagmite might get you in the ass. That's how you remember. If anyone's curious, that's how I chose
Thank
to
you.
Remember. The
Thank
stalactite water is dropping from it, and it is creating a small stream, like an overflowing shower.
Bello, thinking back to Jerry and his 2-year futile quest, decides to go a different way. Bello, in fact, follows that water.
Fantastic. So you follow the water. And the water is moving down the cave. Ever so slightly, there is the slightest little bit of incline. Your walking has become 1% easier. Congratulations. And if the rest of you were following Bello, it has become
yes.
easier for you as well. If you were not following Bello, well, guess what? You are annoying. I need you to follow Bello because that's how the episode moves forward. All right. I know Hot Roddy, he's bringing up the rear and he's on Afterbirth. He is intimidatingly riding as if to say, do not stop following my nephew. He's taking this uncle thing predictably intensely. As you head down, these cave tunnels, the water forks. You come to a fork in the road.
What?
Forks left, forks right. Okay. Both tunnels are obscured in darkness.
Bello is going to pray to Danny Timeshare for guidance.
Absolutely. Roll a D.
This fork.
Roll a D100.
He thinks a Room of Wonder would be a wonderful thing on vacation, and he thinks his faith might show him the way.
I love that for you. Roll a D100 and we'll see what Danny Timeshare has to say.
That's going to be a 28.
A 28. All right, please describe your prayer to Danny Timeshare and I'll tell you exactly how that goes.
Danny, it's Bello. How you doing, buddy? Hanging loose? Hope so. I've just been on a vacation that... Oh, I really need a vacation
from, if
you know what I mean.
You can feel he picks up
I mean.
The prayer and he goes, Bello, you're pulling me away from limbo. What's going on, buddy?
Oh, sorry, dude. I just need to know real quick. I'm trying to get to, like, a Room of Wonder. Left or right, you think?
Left or right. That's gonna be a left.
Thanks, buddy. I love
it. You got it. If we weren't all crazy, we would go insane. Woo!
They hear Bello softly mumbling his conversation with Danny, and nothing else changes except you do catch a whiff of something for only a moment that you don't recognize, but listeners would recognize as the smell of sunblock.
Oh, one of my faves.
Mm. Great. Okay, so Cordelia is second to the back of the line. She sees Bello down on his knees praying. She thinks for a second. She turns around and looks Hot Roddy directly in the eyes. And she says,
Hot Roddy's going to raise his eyebrows up and down like Groucho Marx.
Yeah, she ignores it.
Yeah, like what you see.
Shit, I was trying to talk fast enough to not actually interact with him.
No, I'm infinitely fast enough to do that. There's no, mathematically, you cannot stop me.
Cheddar.
What? And time's going to freeze, and Hot Roddy is going to look at you with a strange eye. Oh my god, I feel like I got a room purifier made out of a cigarette.
Cordelia runs over and just gives Hot Roddy / Cheddar a hug.
Oh my god, oh, this is not an often hugged body. Hello.
Yeah, it just feels unfamiliar. Feels like new territory.
Yeah, no, you could tell.
Like Cheddar, a new mattress.
Oh my god, there's witch hunters after us. A lot of them.
I know, thank god you're not in Rule Haven anymore.
But like, what the fuck? I don't feel like your warning was enough.
Oh, I'm sorry. I had to choose my words so carefully.
Well,
the fucking witch hunter lady made me choose my words.
Yeah, well, the witch hunter lady made me choose whether to die now or later.
Okay,
well,
that's so we both join her. What's the fucking problem here?
The problem? Can you? I mean, you're a demon. How do we get these witch hunters off our assholes?
We could kill them.
Great.
Great. No, you're cool. I'm cool. Let's kill the witch hunters. What do you fucking want?
How is the diner? How are you doing? You got any new stuff going on with
that
you?
That is fine. I know you don't care. It's okay.
No, I do. I'm an employee. I'm supposed to care about my company.
Well, this is supposed to think. No, we're talking. We're friends. It's okay. It's okay. Special case now.
How do we get rid of them?
We killed them.
Or what if we just throw them off our scent? What
we throw them off a bridge, more like it.
That's fine. But how? Do you know how we kill them?
Look, they read... So apparently you motherfuckers are writing books about demons and how to summon them and shit. Wish you wouldn't, because you could just go to a library and read them.
Yeah, but that's information everybody deserves that. Because otherwise
disagree.
It's like one guy
knows. You really? You think you got a password on anything? You got a key to a home? You think everyone deserves that information?
Well... I think it's
different. Oh,
look
at that. You've been humbled. Humbled.
Yeah, well, I don't have a home, so.
I've been humbled right back. Sorry.
Yeah. Cordelia. Now, look, just do you know anything or not? What's that?
That's a reference. You don't know. Hello. So good to talk to you. I can just say whatever shit I want.
Oh, wild. Look, we're looking for something called the Room of Wonders, and then I was just going to wish for witch hunters to change their minds about their life goals. How does that
sound?
Could
be worth a shot. Be worth doing that instead of running that by me.
Well, fuck you. I haven't talked to you for a while. I thought there might be important, you know, updates.
There's always important updates. What are you talking? Yeah.
Oh, wait. Here's a good one.
Okay, what do we got?
You gave me a collection of spells. Some of them have, like, particularly one of them has the feeling of a giant, scary, cold void.
Wait, what?
Of the spells that you gave me. So you've given me all these spells, and then
yeah,
one of them...
Yeah, I gave you a bunch of spells. Look, I don't look at the spell. I grab stuff and throw it at you. I don't got anything like that. I didn't do that.
Wait, are you saying that you don't know about all the spells that you're giving me? Or are you saying that specifically you know that you did not give that to me?
Cordelia, would you say we're friends?
Frankly, I'm going to say yes, but if you said no, I'd be like, that checks out.
Okay, so, I come to you, you know, I said you got latent magic abilities, right?
Yeah.
So,
remember that? That was so long ago.
Yeah, well, that's actually not. It was about 2 months ago. That's, like, half true. You do have latent magic abilities.
Wait, half... Oh, okay,
also
so
Also, most people do.
What? Cheddar!
Well, here's the thing. You're taller. You're taller, so you got more... There's more options. So I was like, oh, that's the tallest person in school. I'm gonna go to her.
I'm sorry. I'm taller, so there's more... options?
Oh, it's a compliment. Shut up.
It sounds like a compliment, but also a lie.
It's not a lie. You're tall... No, there's some hard truths about Cordelia and how it works. That's okay. Not a lie. The taller, you better believe me when I say the taller are more powerful.
That's so fuck weird. Okay.
Oh, but does that not square with the rest of reality? Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, it does.
Okay, sir, move along.
Sir.
What
do
we... what? Okay. Do you think... do you think that void is just a magic spell that you don't know very much about, but you gave me? Or are you saying that that is not something that you gave me?
I've never touched anything like that in my life. Whatever that is, do not touch it.
Okay, possess me and look at it.
Possess you?
Possess me and look at it right now.
I'm not, no, that's a bridge too far. I'm not doing that.
Why?
I'm not possessing you.
I'm a nice vessel. This
it's
is not nice
the
in here.
What's wrong with your vessel?
Ask Bello. Bello tried it and
I'm not doing
it's a great
this again.
Bello.
No, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it.
What do you mean?
I'm
Why?
Not doing it. I'm not possessing a patron again.
Wait, what do you mean?
That's what I mean. I said what I mean. What are you fucking thinking about what I mean? I told you what I mean. I'm not possessing a patron again.
Did I bring up like an ex situation?
Oh, did you break up an ex? Yeah, it's very cute. All right. See you later, Cordelia.
Oh, God.
This was
fine.
Nice until the very end, though. Goodbye.
Bye.
And he's gone.
Okay, Cordelia's immediately in front of Hot Roddy.
You're still hugging Hot Roddy.
Yeah.
Hot Roddy looks at you and says, what?
Yeah, Albie is next to Cordelia, and she also says, what?
Oh, sorry. I thought you had something behind you that
yeah,
I needed.
Fucking fat ass back here. That's what I got behind me.
Oh, my God.
What? I'm proud of it.
Bello Good. Stands up. Oh, huh. I think we should go left.
Hey, Bello, look, you got an ant.
Okay, please, calm down. You said...
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Left, Bello?
Yeah, left. And don't worry, I get it.
What?
What does he get? What do you get? What's happened? I'm confused.
As you walk to the left, the hallway narrows, and before you stands a valve.
Anything
is there
written on the valve?
You speak, friend, and enter. No, there's nothing written on the valve.
Are there any gates or... so the valve is the thing that
this
you turn,
this is simply
right?
The tunnel culminates in a wall and there is a valve there. It looks almost organic. In fact, it looks straight up organic.
Do we think this is the room?
Well, I think it was something we were led to by divine intervention. Let's crank the sucker.
Bello is going to open the valve.
You do it. You crank the sucker. The valve opens up.
It's producer Taylor here. Did you think that I was done talking to you about our live show on Wednesday, September 15th at the Bell House in Brooklyn? Well, you're right. If it's opposite day, and I'm checking my calendar, and it looks like today's not your day. If you owned opposite day, it's not opposite day. I am talking to you about the live show. It is so soon, looking at my calendar. What? That feeling when the show is so soon? Look, go to rudetalesofmagic.live, and you can get in-person tickets if you can make it to the show in the city. Or you can get digital tickets, digital streaming tickets. It's going to be fun. There's going to be fun stuff to see. I promise. And you know what they say about show business, baby? Nobody breaks promises.
Bello is going to open the valve.
You do it. You crank the sucker. The valve opens up.
and you're greeted by a verdant field of freshly cut grass. There's a full sky in here. It's as if you've stepped out of the caves and into the out-of-doors. All of the most harmless insects buzz about, giving the sensation of life without actually crawling all over you in that icky way they sometimes do. Smells like a new car, which you wouldn't know, but you like the smell, and there's a lightness in the air, like that first day of spring before it started coming in January. Sorry to be a bummer. Although you see no buildings, you are unmistakably in a big backyard. It's just a vibe thing.
Whoa.
Oh my gosh. Ellie is taking big breaths. This is the nicest she's felt in a while since before they got to Ruleshaven.
The honest air of the field fills your lungs. You are, I mean, this is outside. This is good air.
Albie sort of tags Cordelia and then, like, does a cartwheel away, and she's, like, giggling and frolicking.
Yeah, Cordelia hesitates 0% and runs after Albie to try and tag her.
Fantastic. Unfortunately, could I have you both make a wisdom saving throw?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Nothing is as it appears in this world.
That is a 5.
A 5.
I also got a 5.
Hey, did we win?
That sounds great for us, huh?
With 2 5s, nothing happens. You're completely safe in this room. This is just to demonstrate how... I'm so glad you got low rolls to show how safe you are here.
Wait, really?
Yes! Keep going!
Yay! Cordelia keeps chasing Albie.
Albie is just, like, razzing her and running around, and, like, this is just, like, it feels like when they, you know, it feels like before this whole adventure started.
Yeah. Cordelia tackles Albie when she gets to her. And then she starts running away herself.
It's beautiful. You feel like you're in a golden memory. Not how it actually was, but how you remember it of summertime.
Yeah.
Bello's going to lay down in the grass.
Bello, you make a grass angel.
Just thinking that.
Stirfry is going to walk through the tall grass, the wheat, putting his feathery hands through it. And as he moves forward, he lets the feathery wheat move through his hands. He's going to hum a little song as he does it. Oh, the memory's gone by with this wheat. I'm loving it.
Frederick has picked up his cape so it does not touch this grass that he gingerly steps through. And he looks around and he says, alright, are we stepping inside something magical, or are we stepped through it? What is the deal? What is the deal? I'm suspicious.
Certainly. And, DeBonesby, as you do that, as you lift your cape, the ground lowers beneath you and you float. Your cape can even hang beneath you, and you float harmlessly, just about a foot or two off the ground.
Interesting. The space has received my intention not to dirty my clothes. I wonder what else it can do. Hey, everybody, think of something that you want from it and see what happens.
Ooh, carrot toast. I never actually got to finish mine.
Yeah.
A ceramic plate appears in front of you with carrot toast on it.
Oh my gosh. I think we're in it. I think we're in the room.
Yeah, I think we are.
Should we save? Is this like a one and done deal?
Bello is going to wish that Jerry was here.
Oh.
He appears in the space with you, his mouth covered in blood.
Bello holds out that morsel of beef.
Jerry walks over to it. What is the meaning of this?
I think we made it to the room.
The Room of Wonders?
Yeah.
Well, I was right. I was right to not follow the water and to eat travelers. That's what brought me here.
Albie's mouth is full of toast, and she's like, ask him if you only get one wish.
How many wishes do you get in here, dude?
I have no idea. I've never been to the Room of Wonders. I've only heard tales of it. It's a room that grants wishes.
Bello is going to wish for a big cheeseburger.
Right in front of you, Bello, in this paradise, a cheeseburger appears in your hands. How do you like them? Medium? Rare? Well done?
I like it with Heinz 57 and a French fried potato.
God damn it.
Hell yeah. That's
big kosher pickle.
Just shooting a shot to Jordan and he dunks it. He knew! Oh my god, this guy, we got Joe Lepore on this show!
Let me get it fully. Yeah. I like mine with lettuce and tomato, Heinz 57 and French fried potato, big kosher pickle and a cool draft beer.
Good God almighty, which way does he steer? You drink the cold draft beer, I guess. You eat the burger and it's perfect.
Multiple wishes!
Cordelia gasps because she's so excited now that she knows she doesn't have to preserve her wish, and the biggest cup of coffee, the same size as her, just shows up and she just dives into it.
It's shaped
as
like
big
you.
As me.
Oh yeah, what does the mug say?
It says
I really put you on the spot there.
You did.
Okay, the mug says, you are the love of my son's life and also my friend. unclear where this came from. You dive into it, but don't worry, that's a cold brew.
Oh, thank God. Okay, she's just like, she's essentially drowning in it, but in a way that's good and joyous.
As the coffee fills your lungs, it nourishes you.
Thank you. I know.
Cordelia.
Oh, it's so good.
Hey, Cordelia.
She climbs out of the mug having finished it and sort of like shakes off and walks over to Bello. Yeah, what's up?
Oh, you smell like Jella. I am going to do you a solid and I'm going to wish that all the witch hunters in the world forget about you.
Oh.
Albie chokes and she just stands rigidly watching Bello.
Belothion, that is a powerful desire, more so than even the largest coffee.
Even more than this cheeseburger?
Yes. This would be testing the limits, I am sure of it.
Bello.
Well?
Bello.
Yeah?
I don't want to put our friendship on the spot, but I think you have to really want something for it to happen. So...
What do you mean? I really want this. Where you go, I go. And they're pursuing you, so they're pursuing me.
Perhaps if we put our intentions together.
Yeah.
Held hands or something. I don't know.
Albie grabs DeBosby's hand.
Stir-Fry steps out of the Da Vinci-style helicopter he had just tested. He puts his hand in.
Cordelia sort of scratches the back of her neck and kicks the ground twice and then steps forward. Are we holding each other's hands or putting them in the center?
Everyone else was holding each other's hands. Stir Fry's hand stands alone in the center.
Okay, Cordelia's gonna grab it and pull it back.
And Albie grabs her other hand.
Roddy is gonna look to Bello. He grabs Bello's hand. He grabs Afterbirth. Sort of like puts a hand on the wheel.
Jerry? Jerry doesn't give a shit. No, actually.
Jerry is long gone. Jerry has been, Jerry was chasing
Jerry
a tail that was
space.
Not attached to him. That he's miles away from here by now.
Amazing. That's profound.
He spent two years trying to.
Fucking best DM in the business. Ghost tail.
Okay. I hope you all really like me.
Cordelia,
we shared bodies.
We love you.
Dude, Bello, can I tell you something about that?
Yeah, of course.
The coolest thing wasn't just being in your body, because I tell you, like, you clearly do. It felt so smooth having muscles that weren't, like, sore, but
right.
Aside from that...
Twitching.
Yeah.
Twitching.
When you got big and... You didn't stay smart. You still ask about Brian Fuck's name. I think that's...
I like to meet people.
I know. I just thought that was cool that at the core of your personality is like someone who's curious about others.
Yeah, I'm like kind of an extrovert, I guess.
I don't care for that word, but I do appreciate... That you value, you know, other people in that way. And I thought that was really cool.
Oh, thanks, Cord.
All right, we doing this?
Yeah.
Okay.
Cordelia, I have never had a student, and I would hate for her to lose such potential to small-minded witch hunters. I want that very badly.
Thank you.
DeBosby loves you too.
I didn't say it.
You said it. You said it.
You yeah. love me.
You said yeah. it. You used your weird little language to say it.
Yeah, you sounded like you were like translating an old text, but I'll still take it. Yeah,
I have no idea how much energy there is in this room right now, and I tell you, I can ask to have skin on my body, but I'm doing this instead. Now stop making fun of me.
Oh, no, Frederick. I'm a big enough guy to be able to say it's clear that you love Cordelia, like you love me and all your other friends.
Albie squeezes DeBonesby's hand very lovingly.
And DeBonesby looks over at that half-missing antler, and he nods his head.
Okay, let's do this so we can stop this part of what we're doing.
Wish a rip. Let her wish.
Wish a rip, wish a rip, it's wish a rip. All right, 1, 2, 3, wish a rip!
Wish a rip!
Wish a rip!
And there is a pause. There is a stop in time. You can't be sure if anything is happening, but you feel something move through you. And that's that.
Okay. Now, DeBonesby, you. You go.
Okay. I would like to have my organs, and my flesh, my skin, my hair, and my fats.
Oh, my God.
A package appears in front of you, DeBonesby.
Fred!
I hope it's not in there.
It's soaking wet.
Oh, no.
Okay, Frederick uses his pinky bone like a letter opener to pop open the package.
Feel the room give a little kiss on the cheek as DeBonesby. This was just a little joke. The room was just giving you a little tease. Your skin, your flesh, your fats, your organs, your blood, they all return to you in the right order, the right orientation. Your hand is back, your jaw is back. DeBonesby, you look spirals around you, and in less than a second you are returned to the DeBonesby you were before you died.
Oh my god Albie
is so shocked at feeling a fleshy hand in her in hers that she drops it immediately.
Chris, what do they see?
You see a sickly looking elderly man with like bruises and bags and wrinkles and very yellow teeth. You don't know how his teeth got cleaned whenever the skin got left for that pearly white skull, but they look bad now. And he just sort of smiles in astonishment as he just kind of keeps flipping his hand back and forth each way looking at it. I'm a man again.
Stir-fry, is this, because you knew him before.
Oh, this is a pleasure to see you, my good friend Frederick DeBonesby. You're back. You look incredible, gorgeous, lithe, and powerful. Look at you. You're in the vigor of youth. Everyone, meet for the first time the real deal, Frederick DeBonesby.
Cordelia's gonna walk up and sort of like squeeze his arms and like sort of touch him to see if he's real.
He's real.
Oh my god.
My word. We could stay in this room forever. We could have everything we've ever wanted here.
Huh. Hey, Albie.
Hi, Bello.
Do you want your antler back?
Oh.
I wish it was healed.
Oh.
It re-knits itself.
Whoa. Whoa.
There you are.
Thanks, Bello. This is so strange. What if... I mean, do you think we can keep this when we leave?
But why would you leave?
From behind you, you hear this voice, and you see a large, tan centaur. Oh. His shoulders are wide, and his body hair situation Mediterranean. He looks at you with wise eyes and chuckles.
Welcome to heaven. I am Pope Bonaducci the Infinitieth.
Oh, fuck.
My word! I'd only heard legend!
I'll be kneels.
Yeah, Cordelia sees that, and so she kneels too.
Yes, Stir-Fry takes the cue, kneels, realizes he's wearing a crown, and takes off the crown.
Bello gives a small bow, but this is not his faith, and he does not kneel.
That's the right thing to do.
Okay.
Hot Roddy sees that Bello is not kneeling, and so Hot Roddy gives a nod, just like Bello. Pope Bonaducci looks at Bello and Hot Roddy and says, "Oh, please, it's fine, it's fine. No need to worry. Everyone, rise, rise. Put the crown upon your head."
Thank you. I'm recently the King of Rats, you see. So, yes, I'm royalty myself, though you are not royalty per se, but you are gifted with that end of the road that all hierarchies lead to, which is the top. Yes, so I connect in some way, but I'm... Sorry, I'm nervous. Is that weird? Are people often nervous around
Stafra, you speak to the Holy See!
Please, 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 you talk about the top. I'm just one of the tops. You see, you are in a chamber of a cave. But fear not, chamber fearers. This is no ordinary cave chamber. This room dreams with a stolen chunk of God's own brain. I am its shepherd, tending to it and standing vigilant in its slumber until the day upon which it awakes. On that day, I shall be its herald. But for now, I am simply Pope of the Room.
Absolutely astonishing.
You understand, Pope is a job. Pope is the guy who speaks to God. I'm the guy in this room who speaks to God. I'm the room Pope.
We get it. Yeah, that makes
sense. All right,
sense.
Well, usually people have 1,000 questions. I'm so glad you're all up to date.
We usually do, but this is pretty straightforward.
Is this Pope Bonaducci the Infinitieth? Is this the Room of Wonders?
Please, Pope Bonaducci the Infinitieth was my father's name. You can call me...
Oh, I thought it was your...
You can also call me by that name, which I inherited from him. Or you can call me Pope.
Oh, thank you, Pope. My name is Albie. Is this the Room of Wonders?
Why, of course this is the Room of Wonders. What other room you think you in?
I don't know.
Come on,
I don't
think
know
of what your brain.
Okay. So speaking of that, I was wondering, if we did leave, would we be able to keep these things? Would my antler still be here? Would the Bonesby still have his flesh and fat?
Why are you leaving a room?
Would my tummy still be full of delicious cheeseburger?
Why are you leaving a room? Don't leave it a room. You stay in the room, you don't have to worry about none of that.
We would love to stay in the room.
Great.
And we respect its power and wonder, but we do, I must mention, have business to attend to in hell.
What business you got in hell? Just wish for that business to be solved here, business solved.
Oh.
Oh.
So we just stay here forever.
It'd be solved in the room, yeah.
So that answers my question.
So it wouldn't be
question.
Solved out there.
Well, what about out there? We in here. You in here, your family. You stay in here.
But we brought Jerry. I mean... Bello wished for something that was outside of the room to be in the room, and then it was.
No, you made two Jerrys. There's still a Jerry out there lost his hell, but you made another Jerry in here.
Oh,
De Bonesby. Oh, Cordelia.
De Bonesby silently wishes away his skin.
Cordelia sort of takes a breath and a step back and takes a little walk around.
The Pope is going to... sort of lean over you to Bonesby and say, "De Bonesby, please, as a friend, I tell you, wish away the organs and the blood, too, please. You're making me sick to my stomach."
"I'm sorry, I was distracted by grief, of course. Away with it all."
"Please, what? You could also make it all come back. You just stay here forever. It's not a problem."
"No, but what is the... Pope, what is the reason for this room?"
"I told you. We stole a chunk of God's brain. We put it to sleep, and it makes such beautiful dreams. And we stay in here in the room with the brain. I'm sorry, I don't understand this. What is the reason of the room? You in the best room in the world. You asking what the reason of the room is. What's the reason of everything else?
Well, what happens when it wakes up?
Well, then I'm Miss Harold. I told you.
But what is that? What does that mean?
That's a bridge we're going to cross till we come to it. I don't know. That's the one wish it would not grant. It's not telling me what's going to happen when it wake up.
I'd like to wish that everything that was real in the room was real outside.
Yeah, I tried
room.
That. Tried that one. Don't worry.
You did? How'd it go?
That's like the infinity wishes one. That works here, but that don't work outside of the room. It don't work outside of the room.
Well, what if we wish that you wanted us to leave the room?
Well, then I would want you to leave the room. But expertly, I would dodge and I would make my own wish saying that I don't want that because I don't want that. I like you guys.
What if I wish that the God brain woke up?
I tried that one, too. The God brain wakes up when the God brain wants to wake up. If you mess with the God brain stuff, the God brain stay asleep.
Stir-Fry has been sort of thinking and fidgeting this whole time. He steps forward. I want to know how she's doing.
In this room, she fine.
But how is she out there? Is she still out there?
You don't have to worry about out there. She's here.
I want to know where she is.
And he waves his hand and you see her.
What do I see?
You see her. I know exactly. We know. Everyone knows. Everyone listening knows who you see. You see Splish Splash.
Is it just her figure? Or is it anything
located?
She
is standing. She looks. It's there. You see. There's a splash of seawater and she's standing in front of you.
Splish Splash. I wish for her to speak. I wish for her the same gift of speech that the Bounsby gave me.
Stir Fry, this isn't real. You're just going to get hurt.
I want to hear her speak. I want to hear her speak.
She says, Stir Fry.
Hey, I told you. I told you. I promised.
Oh. Stirf.
It's so good to hear your voice. How are you? I'm so sorry. I couldn't find you. I tried to find you.
No, it's okay. I forgive you. Everything's forgiven.
You do? You forgive me?
Of course. You did what you had to do. I understand.
Oh,
and here, you did. Look, you gave me speech. This is what I always wanted.
Yes, I did. Look, I'm the king of rats now, and you can be a queen.
Of course. You the king of rats, I the queen. This is what I always wanted.
Where are you? Where are you? I want to find you.
I'm here. I'm in the room with you. I relinquish my freedom. I want to be with you.
He tries to touch her.
Yeah, she's there. You touch her.
He touches her face.
It feels just like her face.
He looks into her eyes.
Yeah, you see the sea.
This is her.
Stir Fry, it's not.
Stir Fry. Love, it's not.
I mean, why would we defy a poop? He's right. What's wrong? No witch hunter's gonna come in and attack Cordelia. We're protecting our friends, you know.
You know we can't stay here.
Why not?
I wish there was a second Splish Splash.
And a second Splish Splash appears.
For the first time, Stir Fry turns to Bello with real anger in his eyes. What the fuck are you doing?
Trying to show you what this is.
Shut up!
And it's not
shut
real.
Up. Which one? Okay, which one of you is the real one?
Neither of them, Stir Fry. The real one is out of this room. And you have to go find her if you want to talk to her. This isn't real. This is cruel. To you.
Cordelia wishes for a map of Cordelia with Splish Splash marked on it where she is in the outside world.
Yeah. The map appears. She is far away from here on the Spitting Sea.
Stir Fry. This is where she is. Cordelia hands him the map.
Cordelia, that was way kinder than my approach.
I know, that's okay.
And smarter and
teamwork.
Yeah,
there's a lot of us. We all have to figure it out.
Get rid of
them.
They disappear. All right. We go from zero to bummer real quick there. Not usually the arc we go. You know, we got if you want food, if you want the skateboard park, we got all that for you.
Well, yes to those.
We'll get to the skateboard park, but while we're doing maps, I would love a map just like that, or maybe just take that map and like toss my family's location on that map.
Oh my god.
Sure. Yeah. No. I make it a map, and a map appears. It scroll unrolls in front of you, and a tea-stained, weathered scroll, and you see that they're home. It's a map of Brian Doyle Falls.
They're still there.
Wait. How do we know that this is real?
He's making copies, then he does know what's going on out there. He just can't affect it, right?
I don't know. I don't understand how part of God's brain works. I don't know which God this is. Pope, which God are you talking about?
Oh, the one true God. To me.
Okay. I don't think we should be making any more wishes.
Stir Fry, with a just wish for strawberry milkshake in hand, is walking towards.
See, that's more the type of wish we're looking for here. Yeah,
he's walking towards the helicopter. He's getting in it. He's doing some little little loop de loops around while slipping that milkshake in a sort of morose, just like going for a drive after a long day when you've been, let's say, dumped. You know when you go for a long drive after you've been dumped? That's sort of the vibe he's doing with that strawberry milkshake in hand.
I know that drive. Yeah.
A large couch appears behind Cordelia, and she sort of looks at it embarrassed and steps away from it.
Albie notices but does not say anything.
Bello looks at the skate park. It's actually a combination, like, it's both a skate park, but also it's full of roller coasters, mm-hmm. too. Like, cool roller coasters.
Yeah, and it's oriented in a way that's safe.
Yeah. And, in fact, awesome. But he turns away from it.
Albie is looking for the door they entered through.
Just from looking for it, Albie is able to find it. It appears in front of you.
Okay, Albie touches the doorknob.
Seems real.
She opens it.
Yeah, it opens back out to the cave. You see the cave in front of you.
I think we should go.
Yeah.
Take it from a 93-year-old man who's chased power his entire life. It doesn't come this quickly.
Yeah.
Let's go.
It was nice.
Wait a minute. This is a fake door. This is the door that I wanted to find, but it's not. Albie steps halfway out the door.
Yeah, you're still in the room.
See, it's not real. This is not. Pope, you have to let us get out of here, please.
Why don't you just stay in the room forever? If you really want to leave, I can turn the room off for a second. You can leave. But think about, you make a big mistake here. So many people, they come in the room, they have a good time, they get sad, they meet an ex. You know, I've seen this before. They go on that drive, your friend's up in the helicopter right now. You come down, though. They leave the room. 2 years later, they come back looking for the room. Your little friend there, the dog.
Yeah, Jerry?
Yeah, Jerry. Maybe that happened to him before.
Maybe we will come back to the room one day, but right now, we have reasons to leave.
All right, you got your big reasons to leave. Go. See if I care. That's fine. I'll turn the room off for you if you want.
Thank you, Pope. It does seem like a nice place for retirement, but we're all just students now.
It would be a delight to spend our heaven years here.
All right, fine. No, fine. No, you twist my arm. You want the room off? I turn the room off. And he gives two claps, and the room melts away like a chalk drawing in the rain, revealing a bog-standard cave chamber. Stalagmites, stalactites, all that shit you've been seeing everywhere else in the cave. It's all here. The only noteworthy feature of this chamber. By the way, Stir Fry falls out of the sky. He's about 10 feet above the ground. He falls. Only noteworthy.
Bello catches him.
Sorry, dude.
Sorry, friend. Where'd my shake go? That shit was good.
It's gone. You're just in the cave. The only noteworthy feature of the chamber, which you would have noticed immediately, is a small halfling dressed Catholicly, chained to the wall. He's hooked up via tube to a bubbling jar full of brain matter floating in golden liquid. The halfling's eyes glow golden. Says, all right, you getting out of here or what?
Yeah, Yeah, thanks, Pope.
Why? What's it look like? Do I look bad?
No.
No, you look good. You look good.
Do you feel okay?
I feel great. I wish to feel good. I wish to never die. I wish to feel good. I feel great.
Good.
You look okay. Great.
Can we turn the room back on for like 1 second?
Yeah, I turn the room back on for you, and snap of his fingers, it's back. You're back in the same field.
Okay, well, so, look, this, I know it's not real, right? So this is just for me, or us, or whatever, but I would like to, I'd love to see Ivan the Vampire.
Hey, Cordelia!
Hey! Okay, I know you're not real, so all I want to do is this, and she gives Ivan a hug.
Yeah, he hugs back. He's extremely cold, as always. It's mostly bones and cold.
And then she just steps back and sort of, like, nods. And she's done.
As you nod, Ivan goes, by the way, three lefts and the right.
Three
lefts and the right.
Thanks, Ivan.
Yeah, you're gonna want that.
Okay, good. Okay, nice to see you again. Goodbye.
All right, no, away. Yeah, they're very formal. Okay, yeah, goodbye.
Bye, Ivan.
No, it's a pleasure doing business with you, please.
I kid. And he's gone. The whole room melts away, and you once again are in this chamber.
All right, we've got...
Albie takes Cordelia's hand. Should we make three lefts and a right?
I think that's a great plan.
Before they do, Bello is going to walk over to Pope Bonaticci,
mm-hmm.
and he's gonna crouch down next to him.
Mm-hmm.
He's gonna say, "Thank you, Pope, for turning off the room."
No matter me. Yeah, that's fine.
Can I do anything for you?
Literally nothing. I got everything I want in this room. I'm very happy. You guys made the room so sad, but I'm having a good time in this room.
I just wanted to make sure. You're an amazing centaur.
You know what I gotta say? Oh, thank you very much. I got the big legs. I forget what I used to be. No, I'm a big centaur. That's what I am. Yeah. Hell yeah.
All right. We'll see you later, dude. Maybe we'll see you in a year or two.
I gotta put up rules in here that's like, don't talk to ghosts, you know?
Oh, yeah. Don't talk to us about rules right now, dude.
Right over my head. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
By the way, how fair is Rulehaven? No, you get out of here.
Yeah, okay. Three lefts and right.
And straight on till morning.
What do you mean?
Albie looks at Cordelia and sort of sees that she looks kind of glum. So she just tags her and runs to the left.
Cordelia laughs and chases after.
Yeah, you make those three lefts and a right, and they bring you to the lip of the caves.
You emerge at the foothills of the Switchblades. You step out into the sun and are greeted by the infinite possibilities of the day. Nearby, a road stretches north before you. The sun, which has chosen to rise in the west today, peeks out over the coast. To your left is the Spitting Sea. Ahead of you stands the mighty Kay River, catching the morning light. There's not a single witch hunter in sight, but I'll tell you what is in sight. Trees. Big, beautiful trees. First ones you've seen in months. You take a deep breath. Smells like it just rained. Beautiful.
Hey guys, I know that we all probably have a lot to do before we make it to the Forbidden Zone and go to hell, but one thing I have to do is go back to Brian Doyle Falls and find out what happened to my family.
Do you know how to get there from here?
Well, I just looked at a map.
Wait, Bello.
Yeah?
If we go there, you know the witch hunters are going to follow, and they might... They might destroy it. They might leave it worse than it is now.
Well, maybe...
So Hot Roddy, when you said family, you caught his eye and he's been staring at you. Hot Roddy's gonna jump onto Afterbirth and rev him and say,
"You leave them to me!"
No, what?
Yeah, no, you leave them to me. I'm going to make a distraction.
The witch hunters?
To the witch hunters?
Hot Roddy!
I'm good at, like, 300 things. And one of them is getting a lot of negative attention directed right at me.
If anyone can do it, Hot Roddy, I believe
that's right. That's right. Yeah, you do. Because I am you, and I'm a good uncle. And he's going to put a hand on Bello's shoulder. He's like, Bello, an uncle's place is not at the nephew's side. An uncle's place is out there in the world, showing up maybe once every 2 or 3 years, saying something really politically unfortunate. And then at holidays, you see me again.
I think you're really growing into this role, dude.
Yeah, man. I was born to uncle.
Yeah.
He's thriving.
I'm extremely happy. Oh, so we good? I'm doing it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to make a distraction.
Cool.
Thank you, Hot Roddy.
Wasn't talking to you.
Wow, thanks, I can't. Uncle. Okay.
You can't win with that guy. Just fucking.
There's no point. How do you not get that? There's no point in trying with me.
I thought because you've changed. You got.
Not
different.
That much. I'm still Hot Roddy. The guy everyone loves.
All right, go fuck yourself, Hot
I'm
Roddy.
Hot Roddy. That's my name. I'm Hot Roddy. Woo! He drives off into the sun. Rise?
I hope his distraction is well-timed for whenever we do arrive at Brian Doyle Falls.
Man, if the witch hunters are anything like me, they're going to be embarrassed by him.
He's Hot Roddy. That's his name. He's Hot Roddy. Ah, still an effing cool guy. That dude rules. Bello, you're a lucky man.
Man, I'm pissed about that room.
That would have been so cool,
right?
It was nice for a minute.
Wasn't it? Let's go to Brian Doyle Falls. Let's find your family.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
It is on the way, I hope.
Kind of.
It's not, is it?
It's roundabout. It's a scenic route.
Oh, by the way, Bello.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks for the note.
Oh, did you read the whole thing?
No.
Oh.
I already have a name for my sword, but I'm happy to talk to you if you just want to chat.
So you didn't read any? You didn't read any of my suggestions or like the other stuff in the note?
No. Do you want to just tell me?
Oh, well, I guess if you already have a name for it, I don't need to go through all of it. But
why don't you just tell me some of your favorites on the way?
Okay, so there's Kitchen Nightmare.
Uh-huh.
Ah, yes. Quite the rude tale indeed. That was Allie Fisher as Cordelia, Carly Monardo as Albie, Christopher Hastings as Frederick de Bonesby, Tim Platt as Stir Fry, Joe Lepore as Bello, and Branson Reese as everything and everyone else. Rude Tales of Magic is produced by Taylor Moore at Fortunate Horse. He sounds nice. With additional sound design by Michael Gelfie, and with the infinite dark beneficence of Sydney and Benjamin Paul. See you next time, weary traveler, when you most desire even more Rude Tales of Magic.
So, there's Chef's Kiss.
Mm-hmm. Kiss.
Yeah.
Okay.
Slaughterhouse.
Uh-huh. Okay.
To Serve Revenge.
Oh.
Fawn's Specialty.
Okay.
Because, like, you're a fawn?
Yeah. No, I like... okay, so not someone named Fawn's.
No. That would be for someone else.
Okay.
Death du jour.
Okay, weird.
No dessert.
Oh.
And order up. And I think that was all of them.
Okay. Well, nice.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, thanks for sharing that
with
me.
But, like, if you already have a name, like, you know, don't worry about that. I was just, like, spitballing. And then the rest of the note, I guess, was just, like, about my feelings.
What?
That was a HeadGum Podcast.